What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this kook. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
Where the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Podcast, a freak flag, feel good, fake it till you make it, football, Ric Flair, woo! Friday edition of the Rodcast. And thank God, we are very, very thankful that Ric Flair is okay. There was a scare with Ric Flair. He was in the hospital, but apparently it was something that was already arranged. It was prearranged. He was going to go to the hospital for some type of procedure, but he's okay. The speculation was that, you know, he was in bad shape. But that's not the case. He's fine. So Ric Flair's all good. So we can all, you know, us Ric Flair fans like myself, we can all rest assured that Ric Flair's going to keep it moving. I always say Ric Flair could have been a lot of things in his life. Chose to be a great wrestler. But with the mouthpiece that Ric Flair had, he could either been a great motivational speaker or he could end up being a great, like televangelist, like what Joel Osteen does. Like that, Ric Flair could easily have been that guy, too. Like that's how good the mouthpiece is. You know what I mean? So I always say, man, Ric Flair is one of those icons for a lot of different reasons. He's one of the great motivational speakers of all time. I think he's the greatest motivational speaker of all time, and it was unintentional. Like, he didn't even try to do it, but if you listen to a Ric Flair, you know, Ric Flair speech going off, then it's hard not to get pumped up and get amped up. There are football teams that use Ric Flair speeches and Ric Flair chants literally as pregame speeches. That's how iconic he is. Anyway, I digress. Random conversation. We'll get to the NBA playoffs. All right, we got to talk about the Warriors and their big win. We'll start there. As a matter of fact, they win 114-111 with a little bit of drama. That was great drama right there in that game. And, you know, that's something that the NBA has been missing since KD went to the Warriors, right? It's the drama. That's what KD really did kill when he went to the Warriors. He killed drama in the NBA, right? Because you had, I mean, even when the Warriors were doing their thing and they were winning 73 games, hell, you know, with LeBron James, you know, he still was able to beat him when he was down 3-1. And the Warriors at one point were down, you know, 3-1 to Oklahoma City, a KD and Russell Westbrook Oklahoma City team. There was still drama. There was still drama in the NBA playoffs. And lately, since KD went to the Warriors, there's no drama. There's no mystery. There's no intrigue. Now with KD out, one thing you have to admit, there's drama. It's a better entertainment product when KD's not with the Warriors. Whether you're talking about the Warriors and watching them, whether it's aesthetically pleasing, the actual product of them and how they look, and the entertainment value and how their style of basketball, how people respond to it. It's a better style of basketball. It's more fun to watch this Warriors team without KD. The Splash Brothers Warriors than watching the team with KD. I think that, to me, that's one. I don't think it's a hot take. I think it's reality. I think they're more fun to watch. There's more ball movement. There's more off ball movement. Steph Curry is that Category 5 phenomenon that we always talk about. I'm not saying they're a better team. As my analogy, I once said saying that the KD Warriors are a better team without KD is like saying The Office was better when Michael Scott left. No, it was not. But it gave others on that show an opportunity to step up. So you got a chance to see Daryl. You got a chance to see Andy. You got a chance to see, you know, Jim and, you know, all these other characters. All right, Kelly and everybody else, you got a chance to see them, Robert California, whoever it was. Because when Michael Scott is on your television screen in The Office, within the structure of that plot, you can't take your eyes off him, and he is a Category 5 comedic presence. And you know what I mean? And you know, and he overwhelms that the plots on that show. But when he left, it wasn't better, but at least you could appreciate other aspects of it. And the Warriors, they're not better without KD, but you see Steph is. You see that Klay is. And the Splash Brothers mentality and that culture, it comes back almost immediately. And all the stats back it up, which we'll go through all throughout the show. But one thing, just the eye test tells you, it's more fun to watch. It's more fun to watch this Warriors team than the Warriors team with KD. And whether that's because they are not as elite with KD, so they're, you know, they have to, it's almost like there's a sense of urgency now with them. And ironically, since they lost KD, they almost have an underdog mentality, strangely enough, where they lost their best player, so they feel like they have to rally the troops. Everybody's galvanized. Oh, we don't have our best player, man. It's like, yeah, they don't have their best player, but they're still, as I pointed out earlier, the analogy is, imagine if the Beatles recruited Bob Dylan at the time and he became one of the Beatles. That's how, you know, that's the magnitude of, you know, that connection and that, you know, that addition of having KD, one of the best players, if not the best player in the league, become a part of the best team in the league in a lot of people's eyes. So it's, I will say this, it's, I think the NBA now, without KD being a part of the Warriors, and we'll get into why that is the case. It could, you know, they say right now that KD is, I don't expect them to see him in his series, but they're saying that it's much more serious than they initially thought. So he's not going to be available anytime soon or for the foreseeable future. I don't think they're going to, whether it's gamesmanship or not, I don't think you'll see him in this series. And he may miss the beginning of the finals, depending on how it goes and depending on who that finals matchup is against. But there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, this Warriors team with Steph and with Klay, you can, and the eye test tells you this too, but also the stats back it up. They're much better when they are not taking a back seat to the presence of KD. And whether that's because they're just, the culture of that team was built around Steph or whatever it is, man, he comes to life. Like he's that unanimous MVP. He's the greatest shooter of all time when KD's not out there. When KD's out there, at least, you know, consistently, he's not that guy. Off and on, you get spurts of it, but you don't get it consistently. It seems now, pretty consistently, Steph knows what his role is. And maybe that's it. When KD's there, everybody doesn't really know their role because KD is just so good. And even Draymond said, I'm not making this up, Draymond Green said it himself, and Draymond probably keeps it as real as anybody with the Golden State Warriors. He said, with Kevin, the quote is, with Kevin, you can always be lazy, you know. You can just throw it to K, and he'll get a bucket. This was an adjustment, definitely a little throwback to us for sure. That was after game one. He actually threw that out there. It's a throwback. It's an adjustment for him. Yeah, but I think it's an adjustment that is actually ends up being more entertaining because of the ball movement, because of the off-ball movement. There's a ferocious frenzy because of the sense of urgency. You know, on defense, I'm not saying they're better on defense because KD is a 7-foot avatar. He's a freak. So you can't really, you know, replicate that on the defensive side when you lose a guy like that. So to make up for it, there is a more of a sense of urgency. I think they're lazy on both ends, not just offensively when KD's there. And why not? It's human nature. I mean, look at that guy. He's that much of an impact player. And you go look at the stats. Over the first, you know, 2 years that KD's there, he's playing Warriors basketball. But slowly but surely, the Warriors started to, you know, acquiesce to KD. They started to play, you know, more KD basketball, which is dump it down to him. He's indefensible. Nobody can guard him. Yeah, we got ball movement and off-ball movement. But that's working. That's working harder, not smarter right now when you got KD. When you got KD, work smarter, not harder. And for them, working smarter was just give it to him because usually he's going to have the best shot because nobody can defend him. But now that he's out, I love the stat that he is, if you look at the 176 minutes that he has played with KD out in the postseason, Steph has scored 171 points. He's averaging 45 and a half points per 48 minutes without KD this postseason. So the two things I take away from watching him eye test, not only are the Warriors, they're not better. Like I said, they're not a better team. I'm not going to say that. That's not a hot take for me. But Steph and Klay are better. There's no question about it. And the Splash Brothers, being the old Splash Brothers, is enough to put you in a championship conversation. Like, you're right there. Now there's intrigue as to whether they can beat the Bucks or not, if the Bucks end up being the team they play. And, you know, last night there were times they looked beatable. Hell, the majority of that game they looked beatable, and then they came alive in the third quarter. Then they had that run in the fourth quarter, you know, and that's when I think, you know, they kind of revert back to that ferocious frenzy on both ends of the floor. Well, you can be up 17 like the Portland Trailblazers were, and still, you know, for the Warriors, that is not an insurmountable lead, even in the postseason, because of the style of play that they have. That's what I took away from it. I'm having a better time as an NBA fan. I'm having more fun watching a game when the Warriors have no KD, whether it be because, oh, man, they have a chance to lose and there's mystery and intrigue, or it's just a style of play. It's a more aesthetically pleasing style of play. Either way. BK, am I wrong about it? How do you feel about just watching the Golden State Warriors without KD and just how, as a basketball fan, the style of play? Isn't it more entertaining?
Oh, it's pretty funny. Last night, Steph Curry had 37 points in 39 minutes, Rod, and that actually lowered his point-per-minute average without KD on the floor. That's how good he's been since Game 5 against Houston. But, yeah, you know, I think it's more fun to watch. The ball movement's obviously great, and you think about the pre-KD Warriors, that's what won them championships. They were so fluid offensively. Everybody knew their role. Everybody knew where they were supposed to be. And they passed the ball so incredibly well. So you're seeing that for sure. And I think you bring up a great point. Like, Golden State's not as elite without Kevin Durant because they're not as good of a team without KD on the floor. So teams like Portland and like Houston have had better opportunities to win those games. They've had shots, which, I mean, you don't take a 17-point lead at Oracle in the playoffs very often. That doesn't happen if KD is on the floor. But even then, even when the Warriors aren't shooting that well for the night, and even when the Blazers play great for three quarters, Golden State, they've got enough in the tank. They've got enough experience to find ways to get it done.
Yeah. No, it is. We'll see. I mean, I know KD's, I think at one point he's going to come back because this affects his legacy, right? And it can in a negative way. If Golden State wins the championship without KD, that affects his, you know, a legacy in a negative way. You know, then the narrative becomes, oh, they never needed KD. And, of course, they don't need KD. I mean, they don't need KD. You don't need indoor plumbing or centralized AC. You don't need a smartphone, but, damn, it makes life a whole lot easier. Your quality of life improves tremendously with a smartphone, with centralized AC, with little comforts like that. And not that KD's a little comfort, but, yeah, they didn't need them. But he made them, he basically made them a team that you couldn't solve. There's no way for any NBA team to solve that lineup. Like, listen, you can tell teams have been getting closer to the Warriors. I mean, and the Rockets are a great example of it, but the Warriors won double-digit playoff games. Here's the years. In 2015, they won 12 double-digit playoff games. 2016, they won 11. 2017, they won 10. 2018, they won 9. In 2019, so far, they've won 4. Teams just needed some time because we've never seen anything really like the Warriors in the modern age of basketball. So teams needed some time, but there are teams now with a couple of teams with formulas. The Bucks being one, the Rockets being another one. I don't know if the Trailblazers really have that formula. LeBron pretty much has kind of figured out something. There are a few teams that can take down the KD-less Warriors, and teams were figuring them out. But when they got KD, it was, all blueprints went out the window. It took the NBA another 4 or 5 years to figure it out.
It ruined the NBA.
Yeah, like,
I know
it,
that sounds dramatic, but no. it really gave nobody else a chance.
Yeah,
to win.
That's the evolution of, like, people will catch up to whatever it is in the NFL. That's why Bill Belichick is so amazing. Like, usually, if there's a, you know, some type of, you know, phenomenon that takes place, or some,
something that starts trending. The NFL, you know, they adapt to it. They watch film. They figure it out. And then there's an adaptation to it. All right, there's an evolution to it. But man, with the Warriors, there was no way the NBA was ever going to figure that out. When you add KD, because KD is indefensible. So even if you figure out what the Warriors are doing, oh, you still got to defend KD and whatever he's doing. So yeah, I mean, I think that's why ultimately just based on, you know, the talent and the roster and the structure, taking KD out of the mix. Now, put KD on another team somewhere, too, and I still think you have the same effect where there's a lot of interest. But the truth is, the ratings were down for the first game of the first. I haven't got the second game of the Western Conference. I don't think the ratings were out, but the ratings were down for the first game of the Western Conference Finals. And the reason I think that the ratings were down is, you know, you don't have Kevin Durant. They were down 18%, I believe, from the Rockets-Warriors last year. Remember, the Rockets-Warriors this year was one of the only playoff series that actually, I think there was it was a 12-year high for the conference semifinals. So the only playoff series where the ratings were up this NBA postseason, because the ratings have been down, I think, 25%, was Rockets-Warriors. Consistently up. People wanted to see the Warriors and they wanted to see the Rockets, and they knew that was going to be a good series. And last year that was the case too. And James Harden and KD and Steph, they're superstars. They're stars. They're going to bring in fans who normally don't watch basketball, and they're going to go, my girlfriend's going to go, oh, I want to watch James Harden and Steph, because she knows James Harden because he dated a Kardashian, and she knows Steph and she knows KD. So she wants to watch. And that's how usually how it works. You'll bring in fans who aren't normally fans who want to watch those games. Well, when you lose KD and you only have Steph, right, here in the Western Conference Finals, then you got a small market Portland, and most people who aren't basketball fans don't know who Damian Lillard is and CJ McCollum and who the really good players are. And then on the other side, you're going to have a Canadian team and another small market team in Milwaukee, even though the Greek Freak, people know who he is. He's not a KD, like, transcendent player where everybody in pop culture knows who he is, or Steph, or even LeBron. So you got LeBronless NBA Finals, Western Conference Finals and postseason period, but then a KD-less Western Conference Finals. And you also have, you know, I mean, you got the small market factor too. So the ratings are down, and what it shows me is even if the ratings were down for game one of the Western Conference Finals, they're not even just watching the Warriors. KD was also a superstar presence that was bringing people to their television sets. Like, they got to watch him. And we're a celebrity-driven culture, right? So we love celebrities. Who are the two biggest celebrities in the NBA? No question. It's LeBron and KD. And when you don't have those celebrities, you lose a lot of star power. It's like, it may end up being a good movie, but you may not ever go see it if you don't know anybody in it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's one of the things that the NBA is dealing with in, you know, in this postseason particularly. But, you know, getting back to the Steph conversation and KD, I think for KD, his legacy is on the line, because the Warriors win a title without him, that's going to affect his legacy in a negative way. Then people are going to further expand upon the notion that, he went there just to, you know, to cheat and get himself a couple of titles. They didn't even really need him. They could have won titles without him. Which, I don't know if that's true, because, you know, LeBron and the Cavs were able to, you know, come back from a 3-1 deficit and beat that Golden State Warriors without KD. So I don't know if they would have won, you know, three straight titles like I'm sure they will here, but they probably would have won one. They probably would have won two. I mean, it would, you know, they still would have been a championship contender year after year. And for KD, you know, if he comes back and the Warriors don't win, I mean, imagine how disastrous that would be. If he comes back and then they don't win, also disastrous. Because then people are saying, yeah, see, I told you, KD. If they lose at any respect, that's not good for the legacy of KD. The only thing I think could be good and add to the legacy of KD is if KD comes back and then wins the finals MVP. And the truth is, Steph, for his legacy, he needs that finals MVP. Like, this is the postseason for Steph, since KD's going down, for him to change the, you know, trajectory of the, you know, the narrative about him, that he's Superman in the regular season and Clark Kent in the playoffs. So there's a lot on the line, and, you know, you can, these subplots don't really have they don't really happen, actually, if KD's there. Now when he's not into the fold, you get all these subplots that can develop. So it's actually good for the NBA that he is at least out for a little while. I think he's going to be out for this series. I think he'll probably be out for the beginning of the finals, too, because we don't know if they're just saying it's more serious than they initially thought, just so they don't have to play on this series and don't have to worry about people asking about it. You know what I mean? It's like, we're just keeping him out. Or they're just being really cautious and they don't want to make sure, like, no, we don't want him to come back too early and re-injure it or hurt it even worse. Or if it's actually true, maybe it is true. Or maybe it's one of those things where they're just forcing, it's the true gamesmanship, they're forcing their next two opponents, you know, the Trailblazers now, of course, and whoever they play in the finals, to have to prepare for both scenarios.
Yeah, it's not a bad guy to have waiting in the wing, right?
Right.
Nice little security blanket, one of the best players in the history of the game.
It'd be great, right? It's like total misinformation. It's like forcing a team to prepare for two quarterbacks. It's like, oh, damn it. All right, well, now we got to worry about the Splash Brothers Warriors and the KD Warriors. All right, we got to have two game plans, and you just force them to waste time. And then maybe you come out with KD, maybe you don't. Who knows? But still, I think just planting that seed and forcing your future opponent to wait on, you know, to at least to have to deal with the uncertainty of if KD's going to be there or not, one of the top two players in the NBA. Yeah, that's an advantage. Even if it's just you know, a psychological advantage, it is an advantage, and I wouldn't doubt if Steve Kerr is just, you know, using that, playing that card. We'll see. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into some of the stats surrounding the game, but, I mean, it's unbelievable to me that the Warriors, they picked up where they left off so seamlessly that the transition was really smooth. They didn't really waste any time. They looked just like the old Splash Brothers. And now, what the hell? They have a bench all of a sudden? Where'd the bench come from? They played eight guys, I think, last night. I think the bench had 33 points or something like that? 33, the bench has had 33 and 36 points in the first two games. I know that. I don't know if it's 36 or 33.
Yeah, Kevon Looney, who everybody thought was 14? Kevin until like 3 weeks ago, has become a household name.
Yeah,
man.
I'm one of those people. I called him Kevin too. I think for a couple of years, and now I'm like, oh, Kevon, it's Kevon Looney.
He's good, man.
Now they have a bench, and you know what? Steve Kerr, he said he wanted to play 10 or 11 guys, and I think they've played 7. They played 11 or 12 guys, I believe, in this series so far in those games. So, man, they have a bench all of a sudden. So now, you know, that makes it even tougher to beat. We all assumed they had no depth at all, so they couldn't get any rest. They would wear down throughout the game. And it's like, well, now they're resting Steph for a while. I'm like, man, they're resting Steph. They're resting Clay. Some lineups they got out there, I'm like, they got Iguodala running in the group and Quinn Cook and, yeah. Oh, man, it's crazy.
I've been guilty of it at times, Ron. I think we all discount Steve Kerr, the job that he does, because of the roster that he has. But the fact that they're doing what they're doing without KD on such short notice to adjust, it's pretty impressive. He deserves a lot of credit.
Very impressive. No, I agree. All right, we'll give credit where credit's due. We'll get into that game. We'll dive deeper and get a little deeper into that matchup. Also, we'll talk about the matchup tonight. You have game two of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Raptors and the Bucks. It's going to be a must-win for the Raptors, but it's deflating that they had game one in hand, much like the Trailblazers had game two of the Western Conference Finals in hand before it was snatched away from them by the Warriors. Same thing happened in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals with the Bucks taking game one. We'll see if the Raptors can bounce back. We'll also get into some Texas football discussion. The great Gil Brandt has put out his top wide receivers for the 2020 class, and he's showing some love to a Longhorn. I'll talk about why that's good news for that particular Longhorn, but also good news for Longhorn football fans. And we'll also get into the Aggie hatred. Aggies are mad. They're upset because they are the game before. They are the lead-up. They are the opening act, if you will, for a Texas-LSU at 6:30 for week two matchup. They are going against Clemson, at Clemson, and they are the 2:30 matchup on ABC right before Texas. Apparently, Aggie fans do not like this. They're not happy. They're not pleased. So I'll try to calm our Aggie fans down. I'll probably fail miserably, and they'll end up hating me and sending me a lot of hate texts on the Specs text line. So let's do that. Let's go behind the burnt orange curtain. We'll do that and talk some NFL on the other side, too. All that and more right here on the Rodcast. This is the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. You can always hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man BK is at Brad Keldner. We'll do Freaky Tales. It's a Game of Thrones-related Freaky Tales. We won't get into any spoilers, but there's the Game of Thrones story that, to me, is sports-related, too, that we got to get into. And BK doesn't watch Game of Thrones, but still, I'm sure he'll have an opinion on it. So we'll do that. We'll get into Freaky Tales next segment. I want to dive back into some of the numbers from the game last night. It was amazing that most of the game you saw the Portland Trailblazers, even without Damian Lillard being a really impactful player for the majority of the game, and he's their best player. He wasn't even that impactful early on, and yet they controlled the game. They were up 17 points at one point. And when they were up 17, that's when I was like, all right, I got the game recorded. I'm going to watch something else for a little while to see how everything turns out. And I told my girl, I was like, well, we'll come back to it because it ain't over. She was like, oh, it's over. I was like, no, it ain't over because Golden State's they got to make a run. We just don't know if the run, if 17 points is enough of a cushion for the Portland Trail Blazers to avoid this run, especially at home. I was like, oh, no, it's coming. And I said by the fourth quarter, it should be not only within single digits, but it'll probably be close to being a tie game. I think even before that, they had already moved. I think it was mid-third quarter. They made that run where they brought it to within, four or five. And then they tied it, I believe. And then there was another run in the fourth by Portland.
Yeah, that's the big surprise right there,
right? By eight, right? They responded with another. They responded with their own run.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's surprised that Golden State came back. I thought, and I think most people probably assumed, that once the Warriors took the lead, they were going to kind of run away with things. Portland did respond, though. They went on a run of their own, but yeah.
They were up by eight, I believe, with 5 minutes left in that game.
Yeah.
And that's when you needed, that's when you needed Damian Lillard to step up and be the guy that can be the closer for him. He wasn't able to do that. The great defense by Draymond Green, by Iguodala. Clutch defense late in that game by Draymond and Iguodala. Key steals and block. I think Draymond had 5 blocks. Iguodala had that game, basically the game-closing steal. It's their defense, too. They don't play better defense. They play defense with more of a sense of urgency. You know what I mean? Like they're more rabid. They're more ferocious. They're moving around there, and I think that's one of the things too that you have to you have to be able to somehow defuse when you're going up against the Warriors, because man, defensively they just wreak havoc on you, and they make so many plays, and that's how they get out in transition. And in transition, man, they're just dangerous. Here's a real stat that kind of shows you. How the Warriors without KD, how they seem to kind of they seem to fit kind of naturally and organically even without KD, they fall into place. Everybody knows their roles. They both have missed 40 plus games, Steph and KD, over the last 3 years. They've missed 40 plus games, so there's a big enough sample size to at least be able to compare the plus minus. And when KD's not there and Steph is on the floor, he's only had 3 occasions when KD's down the floor and he's, basically the focal point of the offense since KD has joined the Warriors. That's since, 2016. He's only had 3 occasions where he's had a negative plus minus. It's only 3 times with no KD, Steph on the floor, have they had a time where Steph is playing where he's out there, where they're being outscored by their opponent. And KD has 18 instances where he's out there and there's no Steph where he has a negative plus minus. 18. So basically close to 45% of the occasions where there's no Steph but KD's playing, he has a negative plus minus. I think for a Steph, it's around 9% of the times where there's no KD, but you have Steph, there's a negative plus minus. It's one of those things where a 45-point performance, or say 37 points is what Steph had last night, a 37-point performance from Steph in this system, with the way it's constructed with this Golden State Warriors team, it's a more inclusive, therefore you could argue more impactful 37 than what KD would have, because it's within the structure and framework of the offense. Right, the ball movement, the off-ball movement, multiple screens on the strong side and the weak side. You know what I mean? Like, that's not how KD gets his points. KD got his points from isolation, a lot of isolation plays, and the ball would stop. The ball stops there. I mean, and everybody's not really included in that, but, I mean, what are you going to do? It's KD. He's just that good. So that's why it's very interesting to watch what happens next with KD, because we assume he's going to go somewhere where they're able to unharness his ability and make him not only the best player that he can be, but the best teammate where he can uplift the play of others around him. That's what LeBron was able to do when he got back to Cleveland from Miami. He learned it in Miami with some other champions like D-Wade and Pat Riley. And the same thing with KD. I think the lessons he learned, he's like, all right, how do I make the guy who's an average player, he's just a jag, he's just a guy. How do I turn him into somebody who can step up big in clutch moments, and he can, you know, make big plays defensively, and he can play at a higher level than his skill set allows, because he's playing to match my intensity and playing to match now my new standard. That's what LeBron was able to do. I think that's what KD's trying to do. He's got to go elsewhere to prove it. But even with the Warriors, I don't know if KD was truly, you know, unlocked. I don't know if we saw the greatness of KD, because I think we saw the greatness of him as an individual player. But I still don't think we've seen the greatness of KD as, you know, the Michael Jordan-esque figure, what LeBron has done. Even, you know, Kobe did it, but Kobe did it a different way. Kobe's will. His will to win was so strong. I don't think he's like an inclusive guy and all that. He is kind of an isolation scorer, but his competitive sickness was so strong that he drove everybody around him to greatness, and some into the ground and some relationships into the ground. But Kobe didn't care. Like, that's how much it mattered to him. And I think you want to see it either way. You can do it with, you know, just your will to win, or you can do it by, you know, how LeBron James has done it with a lot more strategy. And I think that's what the blueprint that KD's following. But within the framework of the Warriors system, 37 points from KD is not the same as 37 points from Steph. 37 points from Steph is better. It's more impactful.
Yeah, what's the stat? I mean, the last 30 games the Dubs have played with Steph Curry and without Kevin Durant, Golden State is 29-1.
Yeah.
So as good as KD is, and I think everybody, and even the Warriors players, are saying Kevin Durant is the best player on Golden State.
No question.
Seems like the value of that team starts with Steph Curry.
So here's a thought experiment. So you can obviously max contracts. You can only have like three of them on your team. If you can keep three out of the four, since you know now – you know, all the kind of the stats and the data in the background, what's the three that you keep? Because what we haven't really had a great sample size of is like a KD, Steph, and then, you know, Draymond or Klay without one or the other. You know what I mean? Like, I would assume that if I keep three out of four, I go KD, Steph, and Draymond, and I let Klay go.
Yeah, I mean,
if I could keep three out of the four.
I was going to say, it seems like, and I talked to a guy.
But I don't know if that'll work. I don't know if that's going to be as good as the Splash Brothers. There's no guarantee.
Sure, of course not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, everybody kind of throws Klay to the side in that conversation.
But he's a great defender. Yeah,
he's a great defender, and he's a great offensive player. And we've seen that a lot over the past couple of games. So they're all really good. I think KD is the likely one to leave, obviously under his own power and free agency. So it might be the other three guys naturally. But, yeah, that's an interesting debate. I mean, which of those guys is most important or least important to the success of that team. And because of what we've seen right now, it almost feels like they can be fine and win a title without this Durant guy.
How far do you go down in the different combinations before you go, all right, you know what, I'll just take Steph, Klay, and Draymond. I just keep that three together.
We just kicking Boogie out. You know, I forget Boogie Cousins. Nah, he's worth
nothing. Boogie's a 1 year kind of mercenary. We didn't even get to see Boogie with the gold. That's a good point. Yeah, we just kind of kick him out. Yeah, Iggy doesn't get love in this thought experiment. But, you know, of course you go with KD. And I think I go KD, Steph, and Draymond. Draymond, man, I'll say this too. Klay and KD are the two that could go to another system, and I think they'd be just as good. Like, I don't think there would be a precipitous drop-off in their production in any system, because I think their game translates to other. I think Steph is perfect for what Golden State does, which is why his production drops off a little bit even when you just add KD to the mix, because there's more isolation and there's less ball movement. Now, I'm sure teams would build around his greatness, and he wouldn't become a scrub. He would still be an all-star, and he'd still be an MVP-caliber player, but I don't know if he would have that Category 5 impact that he does with the Warriors, because the system was built around him. And Draymond, I don't know if Draymond in another system is as good as he is with the Warriors. You know what I mean?
No, definitely not.
Right?
I'm critical of Draymond Green at times, and he's been awesome this postseason.
Unbelievable.
But he is the ultimate system player, the best in the league right now, one of the best ever. I mean, it's why Draymond's able to facilitate the way he does on the offensive end is because everybody's attention is so keen on the other guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Draymond's going to be a great defender wherever he goes, no question about that. But why he's such a weapon on offense, despite not being able to shoot the ball that well, is because of the other guys around him.
Yeah, they have weaponized him. No question about it. So it's all right. That's, yeah, well, thought experiment if you want to hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Okay, so Gil Brandt, who, and everybody respects Gil Brandt, he's one of the architects of the Cowboys, Super Bowl champions in the 60s and that dynastic run in the 60s and 70s. He's one of the main guys behind it. And he tweeted out something today at Gil_Brandt. He tweeted out that his top five wide receivers for the 2020 NFL draft in Vegas, he has – number five, Michael Pittman Jr. with USC. Juwan Johnson at number four of Oregon football. Tyler Johnson of Minnesota at number three. KJ Hill of Ohio State at number two. And Colin Johnson of Texas at number one. As his top wide receiver coming out in the 2020 NFL draft. And he's not the only one. We'll come back and go over some. I mean, it's way too early to get into mocks, but that's why they're called way too early mock drafts. But we'll go behind the burnt orange curtain, and there's something happening. There's the data revolution in football is making football a lot more exact and acute in terms of, personnel and evaluation and development, all that stuff. But I'll tell you why, for a guy like Colin Johnson, for his to evaluate what he does really well. The big data out there, I think, is helping guys like Colin Johnson rise up draft boards. We'll talk about why that's the case. We'll also get into some other NBA talks, NBA news notes and nuggets. There's more discussion from at least people who cover the Texans that the Texans could be interested in Patrick Peterson. Brought that up yesterday on the show because Patrick Peterson now suspended six games, and it's possible his value is dropping. There's been speculation even before the suspension of Patrick Peterson for the first six games of next season that the Texans were interested in a trade for a corner because they need some help in the secondary. There's another corner that may be on the trade market that I think the Texans should covet over Patrick Peterson. I want to bring that to your attention. We'll do that on the other side, too. All that and more right here on the Rodcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. These are the tales, the freaky tales. These are the tales that I tell so well. These are the tales, the freaky tales. These are the tales that I tell so well. All right. It's a Freak Flag Friday, so time for Freaky Tales. And one of the biggest finales in the history of television is happening this weekend. Actually, Big Bang Theory, I think, had their finale last night. But I don't watch Big Bang Theory, so I don't know if it was good or bad. But Game of Thrones finale, series finale is happening this weekend. And one of the stories I saw that, I would only bring it to you if I thought it was sports related. And I'm just going to randomly talk tons of Game of Thrones on the show because I don't want to spoil it for you. And I know some of you don't really care. BK doesn't care either because BK don't watch it either. But this is interesting. So according to Axios and according to Kronos, Kronos is a they're a system that corporations contract out their kind of their like vacation and labor technology. So when people want to take vacation days, they use a Kronos system. We used to have it at one of my old jobs. So they track vacation days, and they do studies about when people take sick days and all that kind of stuff. So according to Kronos, an estimated 10.7 Americans will skip work the morning after the Game of Thrones finale on Sunday night.
How many?
10.7 million Americans. They said they expect a loss of productivity. The cost of lost productivity is going to be around $3.3 billion for the day after the Game of Thrones finale. Super Bowl Monday has a cost of lost productivity for 2019, the most recent Super Bowl, at $4.4 billion.
Billions and billions.
As a matter of fact, I looked up 17.2 million Americans skip work or close to it, skip work on Super Bowl Monday. So you do have more people skipping work as a result of Super Bowl Monday. But Game of Thrones, you're going to get a Super Bowl-like response. And I can tell you, I've already told you, people are going to hate it. They're going to hate it. So some of these Game of Thrones fans may be drinking their way through it because they're so addicted to the show. And what they really don't want to say is that it's basically a breakup and they're going to be really sad about this breakup. And they've hated it. Matter of fact, they've hated the season so much. Random, since we're talking about Game of Thrones, got to get this story in there. That, I don't know if you've heard this, BK, that 500, a half a million people, Game of Thrones fans, freaks like myself, have signed a petition on change.org to post that the writers, the showrunners, rewrite season 8, the last season, and also, you know, write it to a different standard, basically.
Just rewrite it? Just redo the whole thing?
Just redo the whole damn thing. It was that bad. They said the series deserves a final season that makes sense. That basically they had no source material because it was off book. These people are crazy. Yeah. But Game of Thrones fans are a little bit crazy. I include myself in that mix. So yeah, that's how big the Game of Thrones finale is. It's going to be up there. You know, I looked up the loss of productivity days in the U.S., or at least for 2019 so far, on Kronos. So online holiday shopping is number one. In 2018. I don't know when that is. Is that like, I guess that's like a black, is it a some type of cyber shopping day?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever that is.
Is that just one day or is that
I don't know.
A couple of weeks?
Maybe that's, I don't know what that is, but they said $35 billion in workplace productivity is lost because of online shopping in 2018. The flu season, people miss a lot of work because of the flu season also. So work productivity drops down during flu season a ton because people just miss because they're sick. They said fantasy football is the third biggest reason in workplace productivity lost in America because people are at work, but they're reshuffling their roster for fantasy football and fantasy sports, I would say, period. March Madness is right behind that. Fantasy football, $16.8 billion in workplace productivity is lost due to fantasy football nerds. March Madness causes $13.3 billion in lost workplace productivity. Right, that's for 2019. That's fifth. That's fourth. Then the Super Bowl, which is $4.4 billion in lost productivity, in lost workplace productivity. And then how about this for the Michael Cohen's testimony cost $3.8 billion in lost workplace productivity.
I'd like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
Because people were watching Michael Cohen testify. That's great. And then they say Game of Thrones is going to be right behind that one. As top in the top 10 most basically wasted days of workplace productivity in America because people are going to be so distraught over Game of Thrones. Yeah, it's happening. Stephen King, by the way, he actually took up for Game of Thrones recently. He said, I love this last season of Game of Thrones, including Danny going bug blank over King's Landing. There's been a lot of negativity about this wind up, but I think it's just because people don't want any ending. But you know what they say, all good things, ... So great minds think alike. I told you, Stephen King, just like me, y'all don't want it to end. That's why you're mad. It's not that bad. It's bad. It ain't that bad. But people are now losing their blank over it. Yeah, just like a breakup. There is no such thing as breakup sex, people. It ain't going to be a good breakup. Just let it happen. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into some other news items of the day. I'll go behind the burnt orange curtain. We'll talk some Texas football. I'm already feeling a little bit cocky and arrogant about Texas LSU. I'm already as black Stradamus. I'll tell you why. I'm picking Texas over LSU, and I'm already feeling good about it. I don't know. That's a really good thing or a really bad thing. We'll discuss that. We'll also talk about Colin Johnson being projected as a top wide receiver in the 2020 draft coming out, and also more NBA discussion. All that and more right here on the broadcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 AM, 1260.